Each Sunday of Advent and on Christmas Eve this year, making a look at a different beloved Christmas carol. We're looking beyond their familiarity to find their message about why the birth of Jesus changes our lives and gives us life. Last week we explored a carol from the African American spiritual tradition, Rise Up, Shepherd, and Follow. In the weeks before that we heard about O Come, Emmanuel, and It Came Upon the Midnight Clear. You can listen to or read those sermons on our website, or there may still be printed copies in the literature rack in the lobby. But on this fourth Sunday of Advent, we turn to Joy to the World. Let me start out by pointing out to those of us of a certain age that I am not referring to the version written in the 1970s that began with the lyric, "Jeremiah was a bullfrog." That was singer-songwriter Hoyt Axton's treatment of the song for a children's program. The program was never actually produced, but the song was picked up by the rock band called Three Dog Night, who were shocked when it became a number one hit. And many years later, Mariah Carey included that whimsical treatment of Joy to the World in a medley on her Christmas album. But no, the version of Joy to the World that we're considering today is what I will call the accidental Christmas carol. I call it that because while Joy to the World is one of the most popular and familiar of all the carols, it wasn't written for Christmas. To explain that, let's start with the source of the text. In England in the first half of the 1700s, there was a pastor named Isaac Watts. He was also an author, a prolific writer of hymn texts. He wrote the words to perhaps 750 hymns, including the lyrics for enduring favorites like "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," "Our God, Our Help in Ages Past," and "Joy to the World." One of Isaac Watts' literary innovations was in paraphrasing the Psalms, paraphrasing them so that they could be sung to the steady beat of a song rather than being intoned in monk-like chanting. So he wrote them in a way that was kind of metrical. And he had an agenda in the way he paraphrased the Psalms. He intended to show that those Old Testament texts pointed all of them to the eventual coming of Christ. Watts published his paraphrased Psalms in 1719 in a volume called The Psalms of David Imitated in the Language of the New Testament. Joy to the World was a paraphrase of the second half of Psalm 98, which you read for them a little earlier. Originally, the opening line of Watts' paraphrase read, "Joy to the earth," but later he changed the word "earth" to "world." Now, I said that Joy to the World wasn't written for Christmas, and a quick scan of the lyrics will confirm that they don't talk about Christmas at all. There's no mention of a baby or a manger or shepherds or wise men, and none of that. The lyrics don't talk about the birth of Jesus. They're about the resurrected Christ returning to rule the world. But that tune is so catchy. And the opening line declares in what I would call quaint English that the Lord is come. Those may be the reasons the song became included among the most popular of Christmas carols. Now, in case you didn't know, hymns, like the ones that we sing every Sunday, they have two components. There's the text, or the poetry that is sung, the lyrics. And then there's the music that it's sung to, the tune. The text is given a title. Often the title is taken from the opening words of the song, like joy to the world. But the music or tune also is given a name. And when we sing joy to the world, the music we sing it to is a tune or melody that is called by the name Antioch. But for more than a century after Isaac Watts wrote the text for Joy to the World, the words were sung to a variety of hymn tunes that fit that text's poetic structure. It took more than 100 years after Isaac Watts wrote the text Joy to the World before it was put to the tune that we associate it with. And how did that happen? Well, let's move from the London of Isaac Watts, the author, to Boston, Massachusetts, and a man named Lowell Mason. Mason was a giant in the world of music in early America. He was a music educator, a composer. He was responsible for introducing the study of music as part of public school education. Lowell Mason enjoyed taking hymn texts, especially those that were coming from England. He enjoyed taking those texts and composing new tunes for those texts. In 1839, he composed and published a new tune for that Isaac Watts text called Joy to the World. Lowell Mason named his new tune Antioch. He chose that name because, according to the Bible, it was in the Syrian city of Antioch where followers of Jesus were first called Christians. Now, for a long time, there was confusion about whether the tune Antioch was, in fact, written by Lowell Mason, or was it written by George Friedrich Handel? Yes, the fellow who wrote the oratorio Messiah with its famous Hallelujah chorus, that guy. Why the confusion? Well, you see, when Lowell Mason published Joy to the World, set to his music tune called Antioch, on the corner of the page, Mason included this note from Handel. Now, that made people think that Mason was using some previously unknown work of Handel's. But over the years, music scholars have determined that Handel did not compose the tune Antioch. When Lowell Mason composed his tune, he did imitate two short musical phrases from Handel's Messiah. In those days, imitating someone's work was considered a way of honoring that person. Now, Mason imitated just 4 or 5 notes from 2 different movements in Handel's Messiah. And they're easy to hear once someone points them out to you. I'm not going to describe them now, but if you're curious, come up to the choir loft area after the service and Glenn will give you a very brief demonstration. You'll hear it and you go, oh, of course. So when Lowell Mason published Joy to the World set to his music, his note of from Handel, that was simply a tip of the cap to his musical inspiration. He didn't mean to suggest that Handel had composed the hymn tune Antioch. Well, the result of the work of lyricist Isaac Watts and composer Lowell Mason is a favorite Christian hymn based on a Hebrew psalm, set to music by an American who was inspired by musical phrases composed in England, written for any season of the year, but most closely associated with Christmas time. Maybe we're especially drawn to this hymn at Christmas because of the clear invitation in that carol's first verse. Let every heart prepare him room. It may remind us that often we prepare our homes to receive family and guests over the Christmas and New Year's holidays. At our house, we can't prepare guest rooms too far in advance. Parker the dog likes to hop up on the beds and burrow into the pillows and shams for a special place to take yet another nap. Apparently, the 3 doggy beds he already has in the house aren't enough. He must think that the Carol's instruction to prepare him room is what we're supposed to do for him, but that's another story. Yeah, the Carol urges, let every heart prepare him room. In the birth of Jesus, God comes to us to live with us, to live in us, to guide and to guard us. But have we made room for Jesus in our lives? Can we? Well, there may be things going on in your life that make it hard for you to prepare him room in your heart, to prepare him room in your daily outlook. Maybe you're hesitant to prepare him room in your heart because you feel you don't deserve God's gifts. You just find it hard to believe that God accepts you and loves you for who you are right now. You can't believe that God offers you forgiveness for the things that haunt the remote corners of memory. Maybe you resist preparing room for Jesus to guide your heart because prideful overconfidence in your own abilities convinces you that you don't need any help. You don't need Jesus. Maybe you struggle to prepare him room in your life because you're preoccupied with providing the perfect Christmas. Have you ever felt like it's up to you to meet what you perceive to be everyone's expectations of what has to happen in order to make Christmas just the way it's supposed to be? Or maybe you simply laugh at the idea of preparing him room in your life because your life already feels as crowded as an RTA train leaving Tower City after an Indians game. You're barely managing to keep up with the list of all the things your doctors want you to be doing. You're being run ragged by the schedule demands of your kids' schoolwork and their private lessons and their activities and their medical appointments. Personnel change at work resulted in you covering your job and half of someone else's for the foreseeable future. Or one of your teachers unexpectedly blessed your Christmas break with 2 extra projects that are due the first day back from vacation. Or maybe at home you're paying the bills and buying the groceries and touching a vacuum and dust rag and then doing the same at your parents' place too. Oh, and then there's the fact that 19 relatives are coming for dinner to your house on Christmas Day. Yeah, there might be things going on in your life that make it hard for you to prepare him room in your heart. But taking Jesus into your life is not like assuming the burdens of taking in a boarder or even an overnight guest. Remember Matthew's gospel that Cameron read to you, where Jesus uses the image of a yoke for cattle to promise that he won't be a burden, but rather a blessing. He said, "Come to me, all you that are tired of carrying heavy loads. I will give you rest. Take my yoke and put it on you and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest. For the yoke I will give you is easy. The load I will put on you is light. Celebrating the Nativity is a cause for joy for all the world, because God has come to us in Jesus the Son. Let every heart prepare Him room. Let us accept Jesus in our lives, because embracing Jesus does not clutter our lives. Jesus clarifies what's central, what's important, what's meaningful about our lives. Embracing Jesus does not add to our load. Jesus lightens our load. The world knows joy because God has come into our world in Jesus, the Son of God. Let every heart prepare Him room. Let us pray.